Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio, we're going on a road trip. And as we travel down Route 51 or Highway 29 or Highway 10 or any of the main roads or back roads in north central Wisconsin, it's an all too familiar sight. That car in front of you, weaving between lanes, changing speed for no reason, sliding onto the shoulder of the road and then back across the center line. Encountering a drunk driver on our highways is an almost routine occurrence, because here in Wisconsin we have more drunk drivers than any other state, and we have the most lenient laws in the nation. The federal government estimates that one quarter of all of the drivers in Wisconsin have driven drunk within the past year, putting us ahead of North Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, and South Dakota in the top five. And in north central Wisconsin, we have seen a string of terrible tragedies caused by drunk driving accidents and an equally alarming parade of top community leaders and elected officials who have been arrested for drunk driving. The tide of public opinion may be turning. Next Wednesday, the state legislature goes into extraordinary session in Madison to vote on a bill that would significantly toughen Wisconsin's drunk driving statutes. I'm Glenn Moberg. With us this afternoon on Route 51. On the phone from Madison, we have Lisa Maroney. She's a spokesperson for the UW Health-led Coalition AWARE, which stands for All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. They've been at the forefront of the fight for a new OWI law. And joining us in our studio, Sue Nowak, Certified Prevention Specialist for Premier Recovery Services of Wausau, and Pete Wasson, the Assistant Managing Editor for Public Service of the Wausau Daily Herald, a newspaper which has made drinking and drunk driving two of its editorial priorities. This is a call-in show. It's your chance to voice your opinion. Do you agree that Wisconsin has a drinking problem, or do you think we're simply embracing the cultural traditions of our Northern European heritage? Is the brewing industry in our state doing enough, and is the Tavern League doing enough? Or are they, as some have charged, powerful obstacles to change? And we want to know about you. Has your life been changed by drunk driving? Do you have a friend or a loved one who's been killed or injured by a drunk driver? And if you're honest, have you driven under the influence yourself? Should we toughen our laws, or is our state government already exerting enough control over our behavior in this area? Give us a call. This is your radio program. Our lines are open at 261-6371. If you're in the Wausau area, that's 261-6371, or anywhere you can call us toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. Lisa, Sue, and Pete, thanks for being with us for the next hour. And we'd like to start, I think, with Lisa Maroney, who's joining us by telephone from Madison. Lisa, why don't you tell us about your organization, AWARE, and the role of UW Health in forming it?
Sure. Thanks a lot, Glenn. A little over a year ago, the leadership of UW Health made an announcement that we were creating the AWARE Coalition. As we looked at public health issues facing Wisconsin, we looked at really the staggering statistics about drinking, underage drinking, binge drinking, drinking and driving. And as we did our research, because really everything that we do is really pointed to evidence-based medicine, we discovered that there really existed no statewide organization around the issue of not only drunk driving, because certainly MAD exists out there, but around the whole issue of treatment, prevention, and really the fight against alcohol abuse. And so we started the coalition. It's grown by leaps and bounds. It's a small part of what I do in terms of my job description. But we think that people out there understand and recognize there's a problem. They want to be a part of the solution. And so we have AWARE.
Lisa, are you happy that the state legislature is convening an extraordinary session to vote on this legislation next Wednesday?
Yes. We think it's fantastic. We think it's an important first step in combating drunk driving in the state. We think, as I said, it's an important first step. We certainly hope that the legislature won't stop with this, but we think there are some major changes that will occur in state law as it relates to drunk driving, and specifically people who are repeat offenders.
Well, I want to get into that legislation a little bit later, but let's move now to Pete Wasson. Pete, your newspaper has taken a tough editorial stance on this issue. Explain what the newspaper is trying to do right now with getting people to take a pledge not to drive when they're under the influence.
Well, I wish I could take credit for the idea of the pledge, but that goes to our online editor, Brian Otten. And I think our conversation was that, you know, for 4 or 5 years now, our opinion page or editorial page has been, you know, cajoling and persuading and arguing and shaming and doing everything that we could to bring attention to the issue of drunken driving and try and deter people from drunken driving. And Brian, I think, said to himself, there are people who are taking a leadership position on this, and change will be incremental, but it's got to be a combination of legislative things and social things and leadership. And so his idea was to ask people to sign their names to a public pledge and demonstrate their leadership to the rest of the community and say, listen, I swear I'm not going to do this. And so far we've had just over 600 people sign.
That's a pretty good number for something that a lot of people, I think, would be unwilling to do.
I think it's an extraordinary number. I mean, when, you know, we write a story and we put it online and we get 20 or 30 comments on it, we think that's a pretty good response. In this case, we've gotten more than 600 to sign, and over 500 of them we already have verified by calling and saying, hey, are you the person who actually signed this? And I think it's noteworthy leadership by these 600 people.
If people want to do this, how can they do it?
I suspect... WasauDailyHerald.com.
Okay, that's simple. You know, Pete, the string of tragedies is really almost too long to enumerate in our area, but let's just look at two of them. Lacey Minell of Weston, killed by a drunk driver going the wrong way on the highway as she returned from ice skating competition. And then we have Christina Brickheimer, a third-grade teacher at St. Joseph's Grade School in Stratford, killed by a drunk driver. Four kids in her car at the time. And these things keep happening in north central Wisconsin.
And what's really unfortunate, I think, is that it takes extraordinary cases like those to really galvanize public attention. Lacey being the perfect example. And of note in that case, it was the guy's first offense. I mean, he never really had been in much trouble before at all. And it demonstrates to all of us that you don't need to be a seventh or eighth time offender, a felon. The first time you get behind the I don't know if it was the first time he got behind the wheel after drinking.
But it was the first time he was caught.
First time he was caught, and he took a 14-year-old girl's life, I believe. But as I was saying, it's unfortunate that it takes these extraordinary cases to galvanize public attention, because this is happening all the time. We kill almost one person a day, on the order of 325 people in drunken driving accidents in Wisconsin every year, and thousands more are injured. So while we get a lot of attention on these tragic cases, the tragedies happen all the time.
Sue Nowak, it doesn't take a fourth, fifth, or sixth drunk driving offender to take somebody's life.
No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, what we're looking at here, too, is we have to just change the way our culture looks at alcohol. You know, it's the amount of alcohol that we're putting into our bodies. It's the acceptance that it is okay to drink those larger amounts of alcohol. So I think that's where we have to look at the prevention end of it and say, we need to start educating this community. And I also want to add to that that even though it's been in the news with the alcohol-related OWIs, we do have OWIs that are marijuana-related and that are the narcotics and all other drugs as well. So it's, you know, it's a combination of a lot of different drugs.
And often you've got a mix. I mean, people who are smoking pot are probably drinking, too.
Absolutely. And I know that we do see at the healthcare center people that come in that have been arrested for operating under the influence, and everybody assumes it's alcohol until they come in. We find out it was marijuana alone or a combination of different chemicals.
I want to ask all three of you about all of these community leaders and elected officials around the state of Wisconsin, but particularly here in north central Wisconsin. And Lisa, I'm sure you're aware of the statewide cases, but here we've had two state senators from north central Wisconsin within the past 10 years. Statewide, we have an attorney general, a Wausau city councilman, a Wausau area talk show host, the police chief of Bayfield, who was pulled over in our area, and then, of course, the example of Assemblyman Jeff Wood, who was pulled over in Rib Mountain. That was just one of four separate arrests for driving under the influence. Now, when our community leaders, when the people we look up to are doing this, Pete Wasson, what does it say?
Well, before I talk about them, let me get out in front of something here. I'm only going to speak for myself. I've known Sue for a while, and I think I probably speak for her too. None of us is advocating prohibition. We're not here to talk about making alcohol illegal. None of us believes that that's
the course. Well, it didn't work the last time we tried it.
And it won't work now. I think what we're all talking about, and we can drill down and be and focus narrowly on drunken driving, but overall what we're talking about is responsible drinking. And these community leaders, I think, have demonstrated a true lack of responsibility. The people who write our laws, in some cases, are incapable of obeying the laws that they themselves have passed.
Sue Nowak?
And again, to me, it shows me that no matter who you are, you can have a problem with alcohol or you can be addicted. So it's poor decisions once the chemical gets in your body.
And Lisa Maroney, all of these high profile people in Wisconsin, and we've got a lot of them here in north central Wisconsin. What does that say to you?
Well, it says to me that, you know, I think especially for many elected officials, maybe Jeff Wood aside, because really those issues are just so almost astounding. But I think for other elected officials in the past who've been arrested for drunk driving, I don't know of a single legislator who's not gotten reelected because they got arrested and convicted of drunk driving.
Peg Lautenschlager.
Peg Lautenschlager, I stand corrected. But I think it goes to, again, just the whole culture of drinking in our state. You know, one of the things that astounded me when we set up this AWARE coalition was that there are actually these community groups located within different school districts called Parents Who Host Lose the Most. And it struck me that there actually had to be organized groups to talk about, you know, with parents, like, you know, you shouldn't be hosting drinking parties for your underage kids. I mean, think about that. I think you go to most any other state and you talk about what we see here, and you can see that there are some very glaring differences, which, again, as Sue said, really goes to the culture of drinking in this state.
Well, in Wisconsin, it's still legal, isn't it, to go into a bar with your child and order a drink for your kid if you're with him?
That's right. There's only one other state that allows it, and that's Texas. And there is a bill being considered that would increase that age to 18 years old. And look, people, I mean, you know, you want to let your kid drink at home. You want to have wine with dinner. You know, that's fine. But, you know, if you're going to host an underage drinking party at your house, if you're going to bring your 13-year-old into the bar after you went deer hunting and, you know, let him sit there, give him, you know, a few beers, yeah, I mean, I think some people would say from a medical perspective that crosses the line.
Lisa Maroney of the AWARE Group. We also have Sue Nowak of Premier Recovery Services, Pete Wasson of the Wausau Daily Herald. We're talking about drunk driving, legislation that would toughen penalties, and the culture of drinking in Wisconsin. If you've got an opinion, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. Our subject today, drunk driving and the culture of drinking in Wisconsin. Legislation that the state legislature is going to take up next Wednesday that would toughen penalties. Our guests, Lisa Maroney of the AWARE program. She's joining us from Madison. Pete Wasson of the Wausau Daily Herald and Sue Nowak of Premier Recovery Services. We want to hear from you. Do you favor toughening our drunk driving laws? And if you don't, we want to know why not. Do you think the government is already too powerful in regard to regulating our behavior? We've heard that from some people. What do you think about all of the drunk driving tragedies that we've had in north central Wisconsin? What about all the community leaders who've been arrested for drunk driving? What about this legislation? Our phone number is 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We particularly want to hear from you if you have lost a friend or a loved one to a drunk driver. Let's take a look at this legislation. Lisa Maroney, it makes a fourth, not a fifth offense, OWI, a felony.
Within five years.
It requires ignition interlocks on cars used by repeat offenders or first-time offenders with a blood alcohol content higher than 0.15, and it also expands treatment options. You call this a good first step. Apparently, this isn't all that you'd like to do.
Yeah, I mean, for first-time offenders, it still is not a criminal offense in Wisconsin, and we're the only state left in the country that does not criminalize, and I don't mean felony, I mean just simple criminalize, like a misdemeanor, first offense, drunk driving.
It's a traffic citation right now.
That is correct. And, you know, I think the Lacey tragedy, you know, in your area illustrates a very important fact, and that is, according to the Wisconsin DOT, over two-thirds of the serious and fatal alcohol-related crashes in this state occur by people who have had no prior OWI. I think what gets the attention oftentimes in the media are the repeat offenders, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh offenders. And we think this bill goes a long way to dealing with repeat offenders. But the AWARE Coalition and UW Health believes that there is more that can be done and ought to be done to prevent, you know, first-time people from ever getting in their car and driving drunk.
Well, the what you're going to hear from some people is, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. And are you going to single out and give somebody a criminal record if they just made one mistake?
Well, there's a whole lot of things that we do to single out people where they get, you know, misdemeanors. And, you know, again, a misdemeanor is not the same as a felony. And the other thing, too, is, you know, this is something that kills other people. This isn't like, you know, something that annoys people. It kills people. It takes people's lives. It completely destroys families. And so, yeah, we think that should be a misdemeanor on your first offense.
Sue Nowak, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I you know, I think first off, when you look at somebody who's arrested for their first time, more than likely that's not the first time that they've been driving under the influence. It's the first time they got caught. So, you know, I think, again, I agree totally that we need to intervene and do something before they get behind the wheel.
And Pete Wasson?
Well, I understand the argument that this might, you know, criminalize someone who simply made a mistake. But I think it's a lot more than just a mistake. If at this point in history, after, you know, 30 years of activism by MAD and all of these high-profile tragedies that we've read about and see all the time, I think you're doing more than making a mistake. You're making a conscious decision. But we're talking almost, I think, about two different things. A fourth or fifth or eighth or ninth offender, I think, pretty much demonstrably has a problem, you know? A first offender doesn't necessarily have a drinking problem. We're not talking about all first offenders are alcoholics. I think by the time you hit nine, you've demonstrated that you've got more than just a passing alcohol problem.
And it's shocking how many of those cases show up in the paper, you know, in the pages of the Daily Herald.
And Lisa's right. Those are the ones that get a lot of attention. But everybody, I mean, a lot of people are capable every Friday night, every Saturday night of being arrested for a first offense. And I think a lot of us believe that if you criminalize it, make it more than just a traffic citation, that does serve a little bit more deterrent value, does have more deterrent value than saying you're going to get a fine.
We are also one of a dozen states that prohibit sobriety checkpoints by police. Lisa, what do you think about that?
We absolutely support legalizing sobriety checkpoints in Wisconsin. And, you know, it's just another tool in law enforcement's quiver that they can use. You know, and here's the thing that we know, here's the what the research shows, is that the biggest deterrent to people driving drunk is the fear of being caught. And that's what sobriety checkpoints do. Now, you know, I always like to look at what the reaction is from the Tavern League on various issues because, you know, to me, in my mind, that tells me, like, wow, are we, you know, hot or cold here? And, I mean, they absolutely are strongly opposed to legalizing sobriety checkpoints in Wisconsin.
The Libertarian Party is opposed to it, too. They claim the government doesn't have a right to just pull you over and search you. Of course, the other argument to that is that driving is not a right, it's a privilege.
Yeah, I have to tell a quick sobriety checkpoint story. I came from a newspaper. I started at a newspaper in Indiana where sobriety checkpoints are legal. And I was out working one on New Year's Eve one night with the county sheriff's department that was at this sobriety checkpoint, and a kid pulled up, 21, 22 years old. He was in a pickup truck. They pulled him out of the car. He was, you know, falling over drunk. And a couple minutes later, just as they were cuffing him, another car pulls up behind, and a guy comes climbing out of that car, and he's falling down drunk too. And he starts screaming at the kid from the first traffic stop, and it turns out that he's the kid's dad, and they had been at home drinking together. And he says, "I was trying to stop him from driving drunk." Then they ended up taking them both to jail. They work. I mean, that's all there is to it. They work. And it's not unconstitutional. They randomly select, you know, every fifth car that comes by or something like that that they're going to check. And as you said, driving on Wisconsin's roads and highways is not a right. It's a privilege.
And I guess if that points to anything, it's the fact that a lot of this behavior is passed on from generation to generation, Sue.
Absolutely, and we see that a lot at the healthcare center.
We're going to have to take a quick break for news, and we would like you to join the conversation. We have Pete Wasson of the Wausau Daily Herald. The newspaper has taken a strong editorial stance against drunk driving. Sue Nowak of Premier Recovery Services. She is a prevention specialist. Lisa Maroney, a spokesperson for a UW health-led coalition called AWARE. The only people missing are you. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We particularly want to hear from you if your life, if your family, if your friends have been touched by a drunk driving tragedy. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We'll be back after this news.
WPR can be heard on your radio almost anywhere in the state, and you can listen online, too. You can find the programming schedule for your area at WPR.org. Click on Studios, Stations, and Program Schedules to find out more.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at UMR.com.
We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our subject today, drunk driving. Legislation that's pending in Madison that would toughen our penalties. They are currently the most lenient in the nation. And our guests are Lisa Maroney. She's a spokesperson for a UW health-led coalition called AWARE. We also have Sue Nowak, a certified prevention specialist for Premier Recovery Services of Wausau, and Pete Wasson, assisting managing editor for public service of the Wausau Daily Herald, a newspaper that has taken a strong editorial stance against drunk driving and the abuse of alcohol. We'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We particularly want to hear from you if you've lost a loved one or a friend to drunk driving, or if you know somebody whose life has been ruined by drunk driving. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. We have John in Mosinee. John, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm 55 years old and been driving for a long time, so I was wondering, how is it that I know people that have driven drunk their whole life, and never been stopped and never had an accident. And yet, and then I see in a paper other people that have, you know, gotten caught 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. How is it that, is their luck that bad that they keep getting caught? Or are they running into objects and having accidents or something? Or are they just in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Who wants to take that?
Well, I just want to say they're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're in the right place to get caught, because to get caught, I think, you know, is going to get them off the road. So,
I also think, too, it makes a difference in terms of how many resources are available, so money, for drunk driving law enforcement. And I think maybe that might be sometimes why, you know, there's sort of this patchwork, or what it seems to be a patchwork, which is one of the reasons that the AWARE Coalition strongly supports increasing the state beer tax for increased drunk driving law enforcement, treatment, and prevention. And especially the prevention and the drunk driving law, well, all three of them are really important. But, you know, I think when we talk about people just getting, you know, drinking, getting in their car and driving, as we've said, it really goes to the culture. And we really believe that prevention, and really starting with kids in school, you know, it's kind of like with seatbelts, you know, I mean, those of us that are a little bit older, I mean, you know, heck, we were kids. We were bouncing around in the back seat without seatbelts on. But now, you know, you would never do that. In fact, you often hear kids correcting older people, hey, you know, Grandpa, you need to put your seatbelt on. And we think that same kind of thing, you know, if we can begin with younger people to begin changing the culture.
John, you still with us?
Yes.
Let me ask you why you think some people are able to drive drunk repeatedly and not get caught.
Unfortunately, I think it's up to the officer's discretion, and for whatever reason, you know, some people apparently get caught more. I don't know. That's I don't really want to know, maybe, but that's, and then there's so many people that aren't drunk and they're driving terribly too. They're on a cell phone, or they're distracted, or they're in a hurry, they're aggressive, and all of those things, you know, unless they get in an accident, are pretty much never discussed either. And
well, we have discussed that, but I think that's a topic for a different show. Distracted driving is something that a lot of people are upset about, and I think there's legislation pending on that too. John, thanks so much for the phone call. We've got to go. We've got another call from Jeff, and it says on my computer, Jeff, that you're with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Is that correct?
That's right, Glenn. We've talked before, and Sue and Pete, we go back a ways.
Oh, that's right.
I'm the commander here in the Wausau North Central region.
Well, thanks so much for calling the program. Jeff, what do you have to add to the conversation
so far?
Well, I think,
you know, at least from my perspective, 30 years in law enforcement, and the number of tragedies that I've seen personally over the years related to alcohol and drug-related crashes, I guess my point is, with the media and Pete and I have talked about this too, is the necessity for a cultural change, a shift in the thought and the behavior of drivers in Wisconsin. It's certainly no secret that Wisconsin is one of the leading states in regards to alcohol abuse, not only in driving, but also other crimes and domestic violence. So, you know, and thanks to the media and the educational efforts that we're making a dent, no pun intended, but to try to get people to change their behaviors.
You know, the caller we just had, John in Mosinee, said officers have discretion in terms of charging somebody with drunk driving. I suspect that you will take issue with that.
Absolutely, and I think any law enforcement officer or any professional law enforcement officer would take issue with that, understanding the significant ramifications for not taking the appropriate action. And quite frankly, our officers, we don't discern between a first offense or an eighth offense. Drunk driving is drunk driving. Our role is to detect and remove the hazards from the highway. And, again, our hope is that those people listen to the program, they read the paper, they educate themselves and, you know, change their behavior before they're apprehended. And understand that he's saying that he knows people that drive drunk and have not been stopped, and no doubt about it, statistically, for people that have been stopped, they've driven drunk a number of times before that.
And it could be that maybe 30, 40 years ago, there was a different attitude, and sometimes a local cop would simply drive a guy home instead of writing that ticket, but that's changed.
No doubt 30, 40 years ago, absolutely, times have changed. The society has demanded that law enforcement take the appropriate action, but more importantly, that society shift their behaviors away from the, dangerous driving.
But, you know, what John might have been referring to is what you were just talking about, Jeff, and that is the culture. I think the days of an officer brushing someone off and taking them home are long gone, but I suspect that if you put your car in a ditch out on a county highway somewhere this evening, there are plenty of people who will stop and pick you up and take you home, or farmers who will help you pull that car out of the ditch without calling the police, because the culture still says in many places that's understandable, it's okay.
I agree with you, and I think our hope is that in time, again, through education and help with the media, is that the public comes to understand the gravity of their actions and that they're really condoning the behavior, and they have a potential for causing a crash. I don't care if it's somebody that's serving somebody too much alcohol, allowing them to walk out to the door with their keys in their hand, or you're pulling them out of the ditch and sending them on their way. You're as culpable as the driver behind the wheel. So I agree. Times have changed. Behaviors need to shift to a reasonableness and an understanding that we can't continue with the tragedies on our highways. It's no different than somebody walking down the street with a loaded gun. Although their intent may be different, the weapon is there, it's available, and that's unfortunate. People need to think about what their behaviors do.
And, Jeff, this is traditionally the holiday season. We often think of this as a time when a lot of people have had too much to drink. They go from those holiday parties and go right out on the road. Is that still the case, or have we seen more awareness in recent years?
Statistically, I'm hoping that we've seen more awareness. I mean, it's certainly through the media, through advertising, even manufacturers are taking a lead role in trying to exercise good judgment, get people to think about their actions. But it does happen, and my hope is that this holiday season, that somebody's listening to this program, they're serving alcohol or they're going to have a party, that they consider all the factors and maybe offer other options and or not let their guests certainly walk out the door after consuming alcohol and getting behind the wheel of a car. A lot of families, and we've seen the tragedies locally here over the last 6 months, 12 months. It's heart-wrenching. It's unfortunate, but it is preventable, and because people's behavior just need to change.
Jeff Frenette of the Wisconsin State Patrol. Jeff, I had hoped to get a law enforcement voice on this program, but we already had three guests, and I really thank you for calling us up and filling that void.
Not a problem, and Sue and Pete, we'll catch up sometime. Glenn, if you have any other programs like this and you'd like our assistance, certainly give us a call.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Certainly.
This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about drunk driving legislation before the State Senate and the State Assembly next week to toughen those penalties. We want to hear from you, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Our guest, Lisa Maroney of the AWARE program, on the phone from Madison, Pete Wasson of the Wausau Daily Herald, Sue Nowak of Premier Recovery Services, and we are taking your phone calls at 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Back to the phones, David in Minocqua. You're on Route 51. Hello, David.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Doing well.
Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for the show. I just want to make a couple comments this evening. The first is that I live north of Wausau in the Minocqua, North Lakeland area, and I would suspect that there are many areas in the state of Wisconsin like mine in which there are these small towns and probably three, four, five bars that any night of the week, one of the state troopers or the sheriff could sit out in front of the bar and arrest people for DUIs Sunday through Saturday. And I suspect that doesn't happen because in often cases they may be your neighbor. But that goes on a lot in our state, and I think it happens a lot in the rural areas of Wisconsin. So I'd like you to comment on that when I get off the phone. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I'll also take this comment off the phone, is that one of your guests was mentioning seatbelts, which I think is a great idea, and my children, they'll say the same thing. You know, Dad, you've got to put your seatbelts on. But I'm just curious why my three children and every child in the state of Wisconsin goes to school and comes home from school without a seatbelt on their school bus. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. David, thanks so much. That last one is a little bit off topic here, but I've thought about that myself. Pete, do you have people who write in and talk about the fact that our school buses don't have seatbelts?
Occasionally, sure. And I've read a couple of studies about the reasons that they can't do it effectively. The only way that you can do it on a school bus is with lap belts. And in some cases, those can cause more harm than good. I'm really not educated on the topic.
Back on the topic, let's talk about the Mom and Pop Tavern. That's a part of Wisconsin culture. We certainly talked about the influence and power of the Tavern League, a very powerful lobby in our state. But those Mom and Pop Taverns have traditionally been a big part of a community social life and the local economy. Do you suspect he's right that there are a lot of people every night of the week, especially in some areas, in rural areas up in the lake country, that are leaving those taverns with too much to drink?
Well, statistically, you can probably prove that they are. I mean, Captain Frenette might have had better numbers than I, or Lisa might have better numbers than I, but I've read studies that say that the average driver drives probably 50 times drunk before he's finally caught for the first time.
Lisa Maroney, what about the role of the neighborhood tavern?
Well, look, you know, I mean, that is the, you know, economic fiber in a lot of small communities. You can drive through almost any small town in Wisconsin and see one, two, three taverns. I mean, the caller's specific point about, you know, maybe, you know, there isn't as much drunk driving enforcement that goes on in some of those small communities, I don't know what to say to that. I just don't know that to be true or not.
Well, many people say that our Germanic heritage in Wisconsin is at the root of all of this. Alcohol served at almost all social occasions. The state's wealth was built on the beer industry. Is it even realistic to talk about changing attitudes that are so culturally ingrained? Sue Nowak, what do you think?
Yeah, I think when we talk about our German heritage, I think that's part of that whole cultural thing. We're making excuses again. And I think we need to educate our community on the dangers of drinking, not only the drinking and driving, but the effects that it has on the brain. And I think even these small mom-and-pop taverns need to be educated on more than just the OWIs. I mean,
you know, we're also the state that invented tailgating, drinking before the game at Lambeau Field or Miller Park, just pulling your car up and unloading that cooler full of beer, drinking heavily for several hours and drinking during the game, and then driving home.
And again, it's that whole cultural thing. You know, we're making it acceptable, and I think starting by changing the laws is going to make people sit up and pay attention that it's not okay to drink for hours and drive.
But we have made incremental change. I mean, a generation ago, when MAD first came on the scene, there were still cops who would pick you up and brush you off and take you home. But that's not the case anymore. And MAD has had a very real impact on public awareness. And a lot of the things that you're seeing happening now are, you know, the evolution of that.
We have a very glamorous image of alcohol portrayed on television in beer and liquor ads. You have young, beautiful people connecting with the opposite sex because they're drinking. Powerful images reinforced every night by television. Now, we don't allow people to advertise tobacco products anymore. Should we ban beer and alcohol and liquor ads as well? And if not, why not?
I'm thinking we need to make those ads a little bit more realistic, for one thing. And so many of those ads are geared towards the young people who are going to be the ones that are going to be enticed to be buying a lot of that alcohol. So I think you're going to see those changes come in the future, though.
Well, they're trying to sell a product. They don't want it to be realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but you're going to have other organizations out there that are going to come out and counterattack with the realistic effects. And I know that there is a group I think it's out of CASA, that they actually are challenging teens right now to come up with advertising that will be shown around the time of the Super Bowl that will give the opposite side of alcohol and not all the glory.
Lisa Maroney, what do you think about the image of alcohol as it's portrayed in television advertising?
Yeah, I think personally think we may see a more increased discussion about that and whether that's a complete ban on advertising as what occurred with tobacco products. What was that, back in the 70s?
I think back in the late 60s.
You know, at UW-Madison, Chancellor Biddy Martin made a decision a few months ago that advertising at Camp Randall, that there wouldn't be any advertising that would go on inside that stadium. I mean, that was a huge revenue loss, but I think she recognized, along with others, you know, I think this is a slow process, but, you know, the less that we sort of put that out in front, especially of younger people, you know, the better off we are.
Lisa Maroney, one of your agenda items for the AWARE group is to enact a law that prohibits health insurers from denying coverage to individuals who are injured while OWI or who test positive for alcohol or other drugs. Why is that a priority for your organization?
Well, because as UW Hospital and Clinics, you know, anybody who comes to our emergency room, we treat them, we take care of them. And we have had instances where people come, they have been injured because they have been driving drunk in a car accident, but we find out later after we've treated them, and we'd still treat them anyways, that their health insurance plan says, you know what, you know, shame on you, you were driving drunk, and because of that, we're not going to pay for your health care coverage. Well, okay, you know, what that does is, you know, the provider still provides the care, whether that's the hospital or the physicians. And what we've seen sometimes is, you know, we end up having to use our precious charity care dollars to pay for those services when those individuals have health care coverage. It's interesting in researching that it really is a result of laws that were enacted back in the 50s where states were encouraged to adopt laws, you know, not allowing health care benefits, you know, because people were injured.
And with the idea that maybe it would discourage the behavior.
Yeah, I mean, and really kind of a shaming thing. But what we found is that, you know, that A, that doesn't work. It also can be a barrier to treatment. So we're hoping to get a state law that changes that.
Here's a question that, you know, always comes up, and it's going to come up anytime you toughen penalties. Do we have enough jail space for all of these people? Our jails are already overcrowded. The state of Wisconsin is broke. We have limited discretionary money locally. How can we afford to arrest more people for drunk driving and pay to house them in prison, or are there alternatives to that?
Well, part of the drunk driving legislation expands the Winnebago treatment program statewide. So it's an alternative to incarceration for some individuals, and that is treatment. And that's why that, as I've mentioned before, is also a cornerstone of the AWARE Coalition, is that, you know, we're not all about just like, you know, let's charge these people, make them felons, throw them in jail, give them big fines. That, you know, if people really need treatment, that's what they ought to get, because what statistics will show you is that you can put people in prison for alcohol or drug-related charges, and the recidivism rate, once they get out, is still very high. I mean, we haven't really treated the problem.
So, NOAC, is treatment a viable option here? Obviously, you believe it is. You've spent your whole life addressing it, and yours is going to have to be the last word. I'm afraid we're down to our last 30 seconds.
Yep, I totally agree. And like Pete said earlier, if somebody is repeat offender, they have a problem, and we need to address the problem.
Pete Wasson, if somebody wants to take a pledge at the Wausau Daily Herald not to drink and drive, and you say there are 600 people who have done that already, what do they have to do?
Visit wausaudailyherald.com and look for the pledge button.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us, Pete Wasson of the Wausau Daily Herald, Sue Nowak of Premier Recovery Services. Lisa Maroney, thank you so very much for joining us in Madison, and we'll be watching the news out of Madison. next Wednesday. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Lila Roche, and our online producer, Scott Clark. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. A reminder, you can communicate with us now on Twitter and Facebook. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/Route51Show. If you are on Facebook, put Route 51 in the search bar, then click on our fan page. Next week on Route 51, we will be repeating our earlier program with Sharon Thatcher and Tom Berg about their book On the Laser's Edge, the story of eccentric local scientist Mike Muckerheide and a very real right-wing terrorist plot that he helped foil in north-central Wisconsin. That is, we mark the 30th anniversary of the events portrayed in the book. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, and now on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau High Definition Channel 3. Thanks again for riding with us today. Please don't drink and drive. Until next week, we are heading out of town.